Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Nick Kyrgios and Irina Sabalenka, the Evolve Talent Agency, Coca-Cola Agency, Arena, and the United Arab Emirates, and anyone else associated in any way with the so-called Battle of the Sexes tennis exhibition played last weekend in Dubai. In case you did not see, Kyrgios, the 671st ranked male player in the world, played an exhibition match against Sabalenka, the number one ranked female player in the world. As you might expect, Kyrgios beat Sabalenka easily in straight sets 6-3, 6-3. But that's the point. This was a no-win scenario for the woman. First, Kyrgios has only played 6 tour-level matches in the last 3 years because of wrist and knee injuries, so if he had won, which he did, it would look like any male tennis professional can beat any female tennis professional, seeming to indicate that men are faster, stronger, and more athletic by nature than women, which we know cannot be true because our most holy feminist creed tells us that men and women are the same, except for the things women are better at than men. Which pairs perfectly with the holy inequality corollary that there are no things men are better at than women. And of course, if she had won, the male chauvinist pig boys of the world would say, well, that's just because he ranked so low and he was injured. So no win. But it's actually much worse than this. The special rules for this exhibition only gave each player one serve, making every serve essentially a second serve, thus depriving Kyrgios of the decisive serving advantage he would normally have. Even worse, the service line was 2 feet shorter on her side of the court, meaning that he had to take even more speed off his serve just to get it in. The width of the court was also reduced by 2.5 feet for an overall court surface area reduction of about 10% in order to make up for the 10% superior speed of men. Now, yes, we do appreciate the effort to impede Kyrgios so as to make the participants equal. As we all learned, was a noble endeavor from Harrison Bergeron, our most revered reference work on the proper establishment of equity. But again, don't you see how this effort to equalize them actually just humiliates Sabalenka? The more you disadvantage the mid-level injured male, the more you make this a no-win scenario for the top-ranked healthy female. It was just such a foolish thing to allow, especially since it ran directly contrary to Dobrzhansky's second dictum. Never, ever allow your gender truths to be subjected to empirical testing. Allowing our most holy gender dogmas, such as the total equality of men and women, to be actually tested only runs the risk of making the truths look wrong, even though our ideology assures us they're right. Remember, we only pretend to love science when it says what we want and not when it has a chance of telling us we're wrong. Just as some people do with the Bible, we love science as long as it's on our side. But that's why you don't randomly allow experiments without knowing the outcome, which is what happened here. Despite giving Sabalenka every conceivable advantage, Kyrgios easily beat her. And was obviously only playing at half his potential even so. If some random gender heretic, you know, a believer in the inequality of the sexes, I hate to say it out loud, had wanted to design an event to prove that athletes identified male at birth are stronger and faster than athletes identified female at birth, they couldn't possibly have created anything more convincing than this event. Which, side note, also reminds people why their concerns about transgender athletes competing in women's sports are valid. Yet another gender blasphemy promoted by the event. If the point was to humiliate a very talented female athlete and to definitively invalidate our most precious doctrines of gender anarchy, then this was a success. Which is why the Ministry of Truth has declared it an abject failure. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Second, the American Kennel Club, which this week added 3 new dog breeds. The Teddy Roosevelt Terrier, which is a black and white short hair with the face of a Doberman. The Russian Setnaya Belonka, which is a taller Shih Tzu with sheepdog hair, and the Basset Fauve de Bretagne, which looks like the face and fur of a golden retriever draped over the skeleton of a dachshund. These approvals bring the list of officially recognized breeds to 205. But dear Utheran, haven't you read the pronouncements about this matter from the Supreme and August Wokalites at the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals? PETA is seeking a court injunction to stop the AKC from the ongoing practice of recognizing dog breeds because so many of them have health issues, likely from the unnatural efforts to twist and deform the genetic components of those breeds into extremes at the price of their health. But that's only the frosting on the cake. The cake of the problem is the very idea of having approved breeds at all. Don't you see the racist implications the AKC is perpetuating by teaching humans that some dogs are official, approved, and worthy of being named, whereas other dogs are unofficial, unapproved, and so unspecial that they can simply be called mutts, or mongrels, or mixed breeds, and aren't even allowed to compete in shows? Just like humans, all dogs are beautiful, whether they represent supposedly pure bloodlines or what? Impure bloodlines? Racist much? This eugenics-promoting dogocracy of favoring certain features and appearances over others is inherently inhumane, not to mention incanine. Are we really to carve up the dogs into better and worse, legitimate and illegitimate, winners and losers at the genetic lottery, and not imagine that children won't draw similar connections to people as well? For shame. So to the AKC and its aristocratic dogists, we say get! No more shall we demean and insult the ordinary run-of-the-kennel puppies. We obviously don't say run-of-the-mill when we're talking about dog breeding. Every dog is a champion. There are no breeds except that we've made them. Just like people, all dogs are equal, even though, also like people, some dogs are more equal than others. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Since we're already in this vicinity, we must also now announce the findings of the 51st Semi-Ecumenical Multilateral Conclave on Councils, Conferences, and Conventions has issued an official certificate of cancellation for reality TV star Kim Kardashian. What did she do this time, you ask? Well, for Christmas, and to be clear, simply saying the name of that holiday in no way implies that we endorse Jesus, the Bible, or Christianity in any way, and certainly not over the other even more important holidays like Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Festivus, Body Day, or Winter Solstice. I see you, Sister Ravenwood, with your eye of newt. All holidays, of course, are equal, except that Christmas is less equal than the others. But I digress. For Christmas, Kim gave each of her four children a Pomeranian puppy, which the family already has three of. Well, turning once again for oracular wisdom to our gracious, wise, always fair, and never exaggerating friends at PETA, founder Ingrid Newkirk wrote on X, "Puppies are not plushies, and it's a damn shame that Kim missed the chance to be a spokesperson for shelter pups and instead is being rightly shamed on social media for that." By the way, kudos for choosing the awkward term spokesperson, Ingrid. But yes, instead of purchasing puppies from some filthy, disgusting animal breeder who responds to market forces and a capitalist attention to consumer sentiment in producing for profit the little puppies that people actually want, Kim should absolutely have instead acquired the family pet gifts from a shelter. Not only is she reinforcing the racist breeding standards created by the aforecanceled American Kennel Club, but she had the audacity to buy the family a pet they all already know they like and prefer, instead of introducing a completely unknown and random variable into their family's existing animal ecology. Shame on her. Newkirk went on, saying, she can try to make some amends now by sending their kids to volunteer at a local shelter, or paying for a local shelter adopt-a-thon, or at least one spay day to help stop the growing homeless puppy crisis. Yes, this is exactly right, because it correctly conceives of her sin as a spiritual one, for which she does need to make atonement, or reparations, or perhaps to purchase some animal indulgences from PETA to demonstrate her true repentance and contrition. But as we all know, the very first of the five steps for moral restoration, according to PETA, is confession. Ms. Kardashian should confess her animal rights sin in public on social media, where all true spiritual renewal begins. She should then say at least 10 Hail Gaias, perform 20 hours of community restoration, 5 per puppy, contribute an appropriately lavish number of ducats to approved animal rights agencies in the Los Angeles area, and finally, beg forgiveness from the holy hive mind of collective outrage. Then, and only then, may she be considered to have cleansed herself from this grave sin and be restored into the communion of the faithful. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.